It's good to see you all tonight, and I hope everybody is doing well and you're looking forward to a warm week. I think it may not be near as warm as what I'd like for it to be, but that's the way this bipolar Arkansas weather is. We don't know what one day is going to bring or from morning to evening, but I know God's in control, and so that's all that matters, right? All right, you're awake. That's good. So this past Sunday night, we started a little mini-series in Matthew chapters 8 through 10, and we're going to finish that up soon. But tonight, we're going to still be in Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to be and look at a few things. So many people followed Jesus during the years of his ministry on earth. But y'all know there's a difference between just hanging out with Jesus and following Jesus, right? A lot of people like to hang on the, man, I'm following Jesus, but just like the people that were following him in that day, they were just there to see what happened. They were following to see what next thing that he did. And last week we talked about some desires and some priorities in our lives and in the lives of those people that were following him. One of the points I made last week was our desire should not be greater than our own willingness. Some of those folks that we talked about last week, their desire was to follow Jesus, but their willingness wasn't there because they had to do certain things to follow Jesus. You know, we know that follow Jesus, we talked about some of those things that Jesus said that we had to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. And they weren't willing to give up the life that they had to follow Jesus. The next thing we talked about was the priorities that hold us back should be the ones that we let go. Anybody let go of any priorities this week that held you back from following Jesus? We need to look at that for just a little bit. What priorities are holding us back from following Jesus? In Matthew chapters 8 and 9, we find many miracles and interruptions in the ministry of Jesus. Those that followed Jesus saw the interactions with those he healed and with the religious leaders. He had great interactions with the people that his miracles affected. And he had great interactions with the people that saw those other interactions. You see, people see every interaction we have with other folks, right? People were watching Jesus, how he interacted with people that he was healing and how he interacted with people that were causing him difficulty. And so everybody saw that. They saw the compassion that he had on the sick. They saw how he dealt with nature and those with misguided desires and priorities. They saw how he did not waver when persecution or questioning from those supposedly followers of the law treated him and questioned him. Because he wasn't doing things exactly the way they thought it should be done. Jesus had his own way of doing things. You realize that, right? Jesus' way is the best way. It's not man's way, it's Jesus' way that is the best way. And we look in chapter 8 and we see a few things that Jesus took care of. In chapter 8, verses 23 through 26, there was a storm that came up. In verse 23 it says, "Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him." I want y'all to hang on to that for just a second. His disciples followed him. They got in the boat with him. But we all know what happened after that, right? Let's continue reading. "As they followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep." Jesus was taking a nap. "And then the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?'" His disciples followed him. They had enough faith to follow him. Enough faith to get into the boat, but Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." So when you're following Jesus, does he look at you and go, "Oh, you have little faith? Do you not know that I am Jesus? You've seen me do all of these things, taking care of all of these things in your life, all the storms that are coming around. You see how I've interacted with people, and you see how I've interacted with people who need me and people who don't want me. But you're worried about this storm because you got wet. The waves were covering the boat. I took care of all these other things. Oh, you of such little faith, are you really following me? In verses 34 of chapter 8, we know this story well, where there was some demons and there were some pigs. And the pigs were people's livelihood. And Jesus allowed the demons to go into the pigs and leave the man. He healed the man of the demons and the crazy things that were going on around there. In verse 34 it said, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region." See, Jesus' power affects people in different ways. Man, just think about that for just a second. When they cast out the demons out of the man, his life was changed forever, right? But when he did that, they went into the pigs. And those people's lives that were in charge of the pigs was changed for the moment. You see how much difference that affected? Just that moment in time. It didn't affect their life, eternity in a whole, but it affected them for that moment in time. I would rather have my eternity affected than a moment affected. When you reject Jesus, your eternity is affected. But when you accept Him, your eternity is secure in Him. Jesus' power affects people in different ways. But we're going to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. The one verse of Scripture in Matthew that points to Matthew himself. And we can see the same thing that everybody else saw. Action. In verse 9 it says this, "And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.'" You see, throughout all these miracles, all these things that Jesus did, there's a couple of moments of interruptions here where the Scripture says, "Follow me." And he looked at Matthew and he said, "Follow me." And what did Matthew do? That everybody saw, everybody knew who Matthew was, because Matthew was hated. Because Matthew was working for the Romans, he was taking people's money. And everybody saw Matthew do one thing. He shut his books, and what does that rest of the Scripture say? So he arose and he followed him. Matthew got up from what he was doing. He got up from working for the Romans and said, "I'm done. I'm going to follow Jesus." Why? Because Jesus looked at him and said, "Follow me." How awesome is that? To see that God's words and Matthew immediately followed him. God's calling on our lives is such that it demands an intentional response. Intentional. I don't see where Scripture said Matthew said, "Well, hold on just a second. Well, we go back and we talk about the guys from last week. You remember those guys? I need to go bury my dad. I need to go do all this other stuff. Hey, I've got this to do." Their intentional response was to keep on doing what they were doing. But Matthew's response was, "I'm gone. I'm following Jesus." Do you have an intentional response when he says, "Follow me"? Every day, do you have an intentional response when he calls and says, "Follow me"? You can only experience the power of Jesus by following him and becoming his disciples. There is resurrection power in following Jesus. You realize that, right? The same resurrection that Jesus had is the same one that we can have too, because of his power. Jesus is the only one that has power over death, hell, and the grave. Praise God that he has power over death, hell, and the grave. Matthew followed Jesus and became his disciples. You see, Matthew, the only thing that people saw about Matthew was he was not who they wanted him to be. Matthew was hung up with the wrong crowd, the people that they hated. And Matthew had a past. Our past holds keys to God's purpose in our lives. We don't know the future, but we do know our past. How many of y'all have a testimony in here? Anybody have a testimony? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a testimony. What kind of testimony did Matthew have? Man, I was messed up. I was following the wrong crowd, not living a life I should be, and Jesus came and said, "Follow me," and it all changed. It all changed. Choose to follow Jesus, the very one who holds the future. We worry too much about our future and what we're going to do tomorrow, how next week's going to last, how the next 4 years are going to be, what's going to happen to the price of eggs. Buy a chicken. Here's the deal. We worry too much about the future. Follow Jesus. He holds the future. If tomorrow I don't get to see any of y'all because I'm not here, don't worry about me. I'm in heaven. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll see me again. That's the faith. That's the future I hold on to. Not whether I can pay my bills tomorrow, not whether my car that's a 2005 model with 200 and something thousand miles on it is going to make it down the road tomorrow. My future is held with Jesus Christ. And because of that, I've got unlimited potential. God sees unlimited potential where others have given up. Matthew's family, his friends, and even the religious leaders gave up on Matthew because he was hanging out with the Romans. He was doing their dirty work. But Jesus saw Matthew and simply said, "Follow me. I see you, Matthew, but I also know who you can be when you follow me." What everyone else saw was Matthew following Jesus. How strange has that got to be? Most of the people that were following Jesus and seeing all these miracles weren't following Him. They were following what He was doing. And they saw Matthew, who was not someone that they held at the highest esteem, drop everything and follow Him. They saw Matthew following Jesus. So I have a question for you. What do people notice about you? Would you take a moment and think about that? What do people notice about you? Do they notice you following Jesus? Do they notice that maybe I'm following Jesus, but I want everybody to know that I'm following Jesus, so I'm going to do all of this stuff so everybody will see me? Do they notice that you follow Jesus quietly in your walk and you get an opportunity to tell people about Jesus, you do that? Now, I know a lot of people in this world, and I know a lot of people who I can look at and go, "Man, that's not you." But when you get around other Christians, you sure are elevated a little bit. Following Jesus is not worrying about what the crowd thinks. You know, I don't think Matthew really worried about what the crowd thought anyhow, right? He was hanging out with the Romans. But when he started following Jesus, "I'm gone. I'm following Jesus. I'm not worried about if you're going to say I'm wrong or if I'm right. I'm following the guy who I believe is the Messiah." So what do people notice about you? There's a quote that I ran across by a man by the name David Jeremiah. I'm sure some of y'all know who he is. But he says this: "The only way the corporate body of Christ will fulfill the mission Christ has given it is for the individual Christians to have a vision for fulfilling that mission personally." That's what it means to follow Jesus. Is you have a personal, it becomes personal to you. And when Jesus looked at Matthew and said, "Follow me," how much more personal could it get? Matthew said, "Yes, Lord, I'm following you." It's a personal thing for us to follow Jesus. I don't know how personal you are with Jesus and how you follow Him. Some days I'm really personal. And some days I'm just out on the fringes. And I think that would be a true statement for all of us in here. That some days we are more personal with Christ and our ability to follow Him than what we should be. For many of you here tonight, I'm going to finish just like I did last week. Brother Dale, you come. For many of you here tonight, you have placed your faith in Jesus. But the question remains, how have you put your faith into action? Matthew's faith was put into action by following. By following. There were no other steps. He got up from where he was and he followed Jesus. And for some of you that are here tonight, you have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus. But tonight I'm going to give you an opportunity that you can become a follower of Jesus Christ. We're not going to sing. We're not going to do anything. Brother Dale's going to pray. I mean, he's going to play. And I just want you to bow your heads and pray tonight. I don't know your hearts. I don't know if everybody in this room knows Jesus as personal Savior or not. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what you can do right now? You can pray for those in this room that do not. That their hearts will be open. As a follower of Christ, it doesn't mean that we have to go out and everything that we do is being seen. We can pray that God moves. And I pray that God moves tonight. In your hearts, that your ability to follow Christ becomes greater and greater. Not the works that you do, but your ability to follow Christ. You realize Matthew, he did a lot of things following Christ. The disciples did a whole lot of things following Christ. Following Christ is personal. And I pray tonight that it's personal for you to follow Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done for us. For the moments in time that you have given us, for the moment in time that you say, follow me. And Father, we get up and we follow. It's not just that moment that we accept you as Savior, Father. But you call us every day to follow you. And we have to make that conscious decision, that personal decision, that we will follow you today. Father, I pray for those who are here tonight, those who are listening, that they will follow you with all of their heart, with all intentionality. That their life would be one that people notice. They're following you because of the things that you have done. Father, I love you and I praise you. You deserve all the honor and glory that we can give you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.